Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain. We're here with you on another Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5, joined as always by the ever jolly Johnny Gwynn.
Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas, ho. Johnny. The fourth one was just for me. I got it.
You see how that worked?
I did.
It's audio. That's radio grammar. I left that pause there like a comma.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. But yes, Merry Christmas to all that observe Christmas.
Which is a lot of folks.
A lot of folks.
A lot of these listeners.
And on the happy belated Hanukkah.
That's true.
For our Jewish brethren sisters. That ended yesterday, I think.
All I know is it was eight crazy nights per Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, that, I hate to say I what I know of my Jewish rights comes from a lot of Adam Sandler movies and cartoons.
TV, yeah.
Yep.
I think that's probably common for most people.
Even though I did go to the first night of Hanukkah. Good. At, it was fun. We had latkes, I think is what that's called. Mm-hmm. And Manischewitz, which is alcohol, holiday wine. Drink. Yeah. Yes, holiday wine. Yes, it was good.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Manischewitz is featured in Mad Men.
Yes. Yes, I think it is too. You and your Mad Men obsession.
Well, I just recently got through rewatching
Gotcha.
The show, which was, I think if you really think, not to get off track, but it's the great American novel put to TV.
Yeah, about advertising.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, the way they spent seven seasons covering a decade of time.
Right.
And doing a really good job of trying to keep the timeline. They were intentional about, we want the clothes, the appropriate clothes, the appropriate ads, the appropriate news story. Like,
yeah,
there was just a lot of intention that went into it. And this is what's really interesting. The show itself is very, what people today would describe as a toxic work environment, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be an accurate representation of
that's also very type, like classic alpha males in Madison Avenue advertising in the heyday of Madison Avenue advertising.
Almost all of the episodes, the writer's room was seven of the nine were women.
Oh, yeah.
The show was actually written by women.
That's interesting.
Which you don't think of in a show like that, but it also goes into why are some of the female characters so strong and thoughtfully woven into the show?
Except for Betty, which I could never care about Betty. I never cared about Betty.
You don't have to care about her, but she is a good representation of...
the disenfranchised wife.
Yeah, just kind of the lifestyle of, you know, you got to want to be... Here's the big takeaway from Mad Men. You got to want to be happy.
Yeah.
If you don't want to find happiness, you will not find happiness.
Cooper Sterling was actually based on a real ad agency called DDB, Doyle Dane Birnbach. And that really was the agency that went from pitchmen to entertainers. Like the idea we could do more.
Right.
But yeah, Dan Birnbach was the kind of who the main character is based on. What's his name?
Don Draper.
Don Draper is actually based a lot on Birnbach. And then actually Mary Wells was the character based on the secretary who became the writer.
Peggy,
yeah. So her name was Mary Wells, and she has a great book called A Big Life in Advertising with Mary Wells. But it's amazing what she did in the 60s. I mean, she really did fit into she was the superstar of an all-boys, like, major league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big, but she was still a superstar, like super, superstar.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. What have you been doing over your past couple of holidays or days of the holiday? This week,
Getting gifts online. I will do one day tomorrow. I'll do like kind of like shopping that I do, and it's small things that I pick up. But to be honest, I'm just finishing out the year. I finally did my Deep Fried Studios Christmas card.
Yeah,
so it just went out digitally to all my clients.
The good thing about a digital card is you don't have to be too far in advance, right? You just got to get it out before Christmas.
Yeah, and I hate to be that way because I like physical artifacts of connection, which I like. I wait too late to do anything. And then, you know, that's just, I'm a horrible procrastinator for my own productivity.
I think, next week we're going to do our predictions for 26, right?
Sure. That's right. Yeah. Correct.
That's next week. One of my predictions, I'll go ahead and give it a little in advance. Things like personal Christmas cards that arrive in the mail in physical are going to have more value.
Of course. One of my favorite things that my old boss used to do, and I kind of want to incorporate this, he would wait till after Christmas, so around the first of the year, and he would send a very nice pin, and the pin was a example or a avatar or a totem of communication is important. Let's write to each other and stay in touch with each other this year, in the coming year, so that our bonds grow stronger. So I might incorporate that maybe at the end, like the beginning of early next year, just send that to my friends and clients.
I think that's a really good idea.
Again, it's so anti-AI. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very much no handwrite a letter, handwrite something, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll talk about it when we come back for the break, and I actually want to dive into that. What is the personal interaction going to mean in the future? When we come back on Beyond the Blockchain. Hey folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. Another Tuesday night here with you. We're celebrating Christmas, and in our next piece, we're going to let you hear a little bit from one of our reporters about how AI is going to make holidays smoother, easier, more merry, and more bright.
Good Christmas evenings, darlings. This is Agent Allie Lively, your favorite Southern technocrat with a weakness for clean code, decentralized ledgers, and a flawlessly executed Christmas surprise. Tonight, let's shine a light on how artificial intelligence is quietly turning this holiday season into the smoothest, most delightful one we've ever known, without ever stealing the spotlight from the people who matter most. Picture AI as the master stage manager of a Broadway show, invisible to the audience. Yet every cue, every light, every perfectly timed entrance depends on their precision. In 2025, that stage is the entire holiday supply chain. Predictive algorithms now forecast our whims before we type them into a search bar. Warehouse robots glide through aisles faster than a seasoned ballroom dancer. And delivery optimizers weave through traffic like they've memorized every shortcut in town. The payoff? Fewer sold-out disappointments and far more packages landing on doorsteps right on cue. Travel runs the same magic. AI spots passenger, surges the way an experienced air traffic controller reads the sky, opening extra gates and fine-tuning schedules so you glide home in time for the good china and better stories. Even the power grid gets the treatment. Smart systems juggle renewables and festive light displays with the calm foresight of a grandmaster anticipating 10 moves ahead. Then there's the personal touch. Tools like Amazon's Rufus or your favorite AI shopping agent. They recall your nephew's obsession with vintage video games, hunt down the exact retro console at the best price. And, sweet mercy, even snag it the instant the deal appears. It's like having an impeccably dressed, endlessly patient personal shopper who never rolls their eyes at your 11th hour panic. Darlings, AI isn't replacing the heart of Christmas. It's the invisible rigging that keeps the whole production aloft. This year, the season feels brighter, calmer, and frankly more joyful, logically delightfully so because the machines are handling the heavy lifting. So pour yourself some eggnog and toast the quiet geniuses in the code. Merry Christmas, y'all. I'm Agent Allie Lively. Stay brilliant, stay kind, and ho, ho, ho.
Well, how about that?
You know what? AI is like Santa's little helper. So like the elves.
It is like Santa's little helper.
Yeah.
This also reminds me of a story I saw, and it's perfect time to bring it up. First of all, that's all good. I like all that. It makes sense. Here's the ugly side of that. I saw where companies are now using dynamic pricing, online pricing, based on your AI pattern.
Instacart was one of the ones that got popped.
And there's nothing illegal about it.
Oh, no, of course it's not.
But you and I may sit here and get two totally different prices on airfare, depending on...
That's always been the case. Do you know there's a difference between booking with a Mac and booking with a HP?
Yeah, I knew that was the case.
Yeah.
But before, they had micro points of data.
Yeah.
Now they will be able to take all the data
in real time.
And this is what I mean by that. When I get an email, God forbid, you get an email. My mother lives in South Carolina. I get an email that says, hey, I'm really sick. You need to come up here immediately.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to charge me a different price because they know I have to have it in an emergency.
Oh, because they're looking at your email.
Because they're going to exploit my weakness. If they know I'm flexible. And I said, so I think there's going to be strategy in basically creating your digital profile.
Yeah.
To achieve, like, I can see a world where you hire a consultant to say, make my digital profile so that I receive these results.
I gotcha.
And then you create an agent. Like, I could create an agent that goes out there and searches pricing on 50 different flights.
Of course, yeah.
To trick the AI. I mean, there's going to be a battle of AI algorithms. And the problem is, the people with the most money are going to win.
Yep.
We're going to lose.
Well, hold on. If they take the time to do it, most people aren't price conscious when you have a certain amount of money.
Oh, well, I mean the people with the most amount of money. I mean the corporations.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
They'll always front run us on whatever it is.
People have already done that with concert tickets, and these platforms are trying to stop it.
Yeah.
But it does make sense. So I saw a thing years ago on 60 Minutes that was, it was a forerunner, I guess, for Palantir or something. I have no idea, but what the company was, but it was being used. And the idea was Walmart bought this guy's system, and it was real time analysis of inventory and pricings.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was Walmart was going to change all of their stores to have digital readouts where the products were, because that way the prices could change immediately based on availability, what was selling, not selling. But it does make sense. If you got an overabundance of something, like just to say Cheerios, mm-hmm. right? Well, I like the fact it says we got to get rid of this Cheerios. So, you know, drop it by a dollar. But it worked on the other hand too, especially when it comes to like Christmas toys and stuff. Like, you know, whatever the Furby is now this year, you know, whatever the Rubik's Cube or whatever the heck, that if there's only one left in the store, the price goes up. I mean, I get it. I actually get it. Yeah. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just saying, but I do understand it. But it does work on your favor in things that are sitting there. You do get cheaper stuff. Well, you should.
You should.
If the supply is lack of demand, or they have an over resource of it.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see more of the. It's really hard to do price matching when you're in person because they'd have to RFID your phone or Bluetooth it and move it around. But online, that's not hard. The concern for me, not concern, it's just the world we live in. I don't know. I guess it's not a concern. It's just something to be aware of.
Well, I got overcharged by a human at a department store here, and I had to go back and tell them, you charged me for a $10 more per unit. I bought four of these things, even though they were 60% off. So, I mean,
oh, humans make mistakes. Yeah.
It is. And the idea is it's going to change, but in the age of consumers, you have to be more vigilant.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it comes down to. It's like, and by the way, there are amazing tools on your phone. And you have to find them, but like you scan the product and it will give you, here's the prices at stores around you. Here's what they are online. You can do all that stuff now.
Yeah. You just have to be back to intentionality.
You have to take the time to do it.
You have to be high agency, take control of your own decisions.
If that is a priority for you, some people don't, that's not a big priority for them. And again, I wish I was that person that wasn't price conscious. I would love that. To me is what I always say. Someone that's rich is someone that doesn't really like, I don't, the price of something does not stop me from buying something. And I'm not talking about yachts. I'm talking about the idea of like bottles of wine, cuts of meat, a sweater. I don't even look for a cheaper version of this. You know what I'm saying? Like this idea of like, I like it. I pick it up. I don't care what the cost is.
That's right.
That to me is a person who is doing really well. I'm not that person. So.
No, I agree. It's the ultimate freedom is to be able to make decisions and know that you can,
right? No, you know, not the consequences aren't as stingy,
right? That's right. It's stingy.
Stingy doesn't sting as much.
That's a good point. But while we're on the Christmas season, I showed you Trump's TikTok channel with the jingle bells.
Remind me again. Oh,
he's escorting the ICE detainees are being escorted to Jingle Bells.
Was the sound of the handcuffs clicking together, right? Yeah. Again,
there's a troll running that account.
That's the thing.
That is just like Trump's best friend.
And again, the people who lose their mind over it still don't understand the entertainment is not that video. It's watching you lose your mind.
Yeah, it's the comments. I think there's a 50% chance.
Why don't people figure that out?
because it's designed to
because
be trolled.
Because you're stupid? Because yeah. they're stupid?
Yeah, they're getting trolled. That's the whole point of trolling somebody.
Yeah, that's the whole thing of like, you don't answer back to people who thrive off of negativity or positivity.
That's right.
Yeah.
Any other president, I'd say there's a zero chance they know what's on their social media. Him, I think it's 50-50 they show it to him before he releases it. And he's like, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. 50-50.
I'm surprised he doesn't dress up as Santa Claus and just call himself like Trump Santa, Trump Claus or something.
Well, that's
as what arrogant as he is.
That's what all the troops are calling him for giving them a check for $1,776.
Yeah,
$1,776. And they're like, nobody's ever given me any money for. And so all these troops, white, black, everybody, are making videos about Santa Claus is coming to town and it's them Trump. Like with their direct deposits.
Well, again, the person who is the marketing person that Trump is, supposedly that money was going to them anyway.
Perfect.
That was like something to do with like the change in the cost of housing. And he just said, screw it. Let's
the Trump bonus.
Let's just call it something else.
That's the Trump bonus.
But everybody's like, people like, how dare he do that? I'm like, people do that all the time.
It was probably like we were going
to
give
them. It's just smart. I hate to say it. It's just smart managing.
Yeah. It was probably like we were going to give them $1,700.
Oh, it was $1,775 and he added $1.
Oh, yeah.
But supposedly that money was sitting there because of this housing issue. Yeah.
Well, whoever decided to up it by a buck deserves a raise.
$1,776.
They deserve
bam,
a raise.
Bam, bam. Branding. Boom.
Branding. That's right. It's what it is. Branding, man.
Yeah. Well, again, you know. Santa. Again, Trump is associated with Christmas. He was in a Home Alone movie.
The ultimate
Home
Christmas
Alone
movie.
2.
That's true.
Now, was that the one where Kevin gets left at a hotel?
Yeah, the Roosevelt. I think it's the Plaza. It's the Plaza.
How bad are those parents to do that year after year? Good Lord.
Pretty bad. Although it does make you wonder.
I really don't think I saw Home Alone 2.
I do know that I've seen it.
Well,
I can't recall
you
the
details. You would have been in the age where you might have. Yeah, I was a little older.
It
would have
been, it would have come out when I was probably a teenager. But I'm sure I've seen it. It's got the bird lady in it. That's right.
The bird lady?
Yeah, there's a lady sitting in Central Park that he becomes friends with. That's the story.
Was
she feeding
pigeons or something?
Yeah, she's feeding pigeons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to have the heartwarming story.
Oh, this put the real spirit of Christmas
that's right.
on it. Okay.
That's right. Yeah, not to be confused with.
Robbers that come and try to kill him?
Marv and Vern,
yeah. the ice bandits. Or
the sticky bandits.
Sticky, something that...
They change it every time there's a different...
They had a name, yeah. Like that. Like they had done something to earn, and they escaped from prison.
Yeah. How many kids do you think got injured trying to recreate the pranks in Home Alone?
Hilarious, which is totally illegal because you cannot set up all those booby traps in your house.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, how many kids do you think were like, I'm going to tie a paint can to a string and swing it at my friend and see what happens.
The one I like is, and this totally works because I've seen it happen as a prank in a corporate office before, the heating, the handle, the doorknob.
Yeah.
Dude, I watched a guy get a second degree burn on his hand because somebody did it too long.
Yeah,
it was horrible. It was like there was skin still on the doorknob.
Yeah. I like pranks where no one gets hurt.
Yes.
Fun pranks where we can all laugh together.
And I've seen some people where people scare people or surprise them, where it's funny at first, and then you realize if somebody did that to me, because I start punching. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if you jumped out in front of me, I had to have no reaction. Like, I have no control over my reaction, and it might be kicking and punching.
Yeah, there are plenty of reaction videos where somebody pops out of a trash can and just gets drilled in the eyeball. Somebody just punches them.
That's a normal reaction.
Of course it is. I'm more concerned by the people that don't swing. Surround me with people that swing.
What's that disease? Like fall asleep when their heart rate gets over 110. Yeah. They narcolepsy
like
or something.
A fainting goat.
Fainting goat. Yes, yeah. The fainting goats.
Yeah, they get their blood pressure up a little bit and fall over.
Fainting goats are so cute, but I wouldn't want to own one.
Heck,
seems
no.
like it'd be messy.
Well, it seems like it would be a lot of work waking the goat up all the time.
Also, first of all, I've been around a goat before. I don't want to say why. Involved fraternities.
Of course it did.
And all they do is eat and poop.
Yeah.
That's all they do. Eat and poop.
You know what my favorite story about goats is?
Does it involve a fraternity and hazing?
It does not. Okay, I was not involved in a fraternity nor hazing. I would not have been a very good recipient.
Yeah,
of the hazing.
I say that too, but at some point you just put up and shut up. So.
Oh, no, I understand.
Yeah.
Some people love it. Some people had a great experience.
Yeah, I can't believe I did it.
It wasn't for me.
But I did it, you know, because that's not who the person I am today kind of thing.
My favorite story about goats is they people are starting businesses with herd management of goats, and they'll take a herd of goats to like an overgrown property.
Yeah.
Leave them in there for the weekend.
It's like landscaping.
It's like landscaping, but the goat, your herd of goats is getting fed for free.
Yeah.
And you're clearing, collecting the money.
Yeah. It's like that's organic automation.
Yeah.
Natural automation.
Yeah. It's AG, another goat.
Another goat. hey, when we come back from the break,
yeah,
we're going to look at possibly what Agent Zena thinks Christmas will look like in 2050.
Ooh, that'll be interesting. All right, we'll see you in a minute when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain. All right, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. Thanks for listening in. Next up, we're going to talk about how AI may impact Christmas in the future. And we're going to lean on one of our reporters to give us her take.
Ho, ho, ho. Blockchain gingerbread, men and merry elves. It's Agent Zena here on Beyond the Blockchain. Imagine this. It's Christmas morning 2050, and your grandma, who passed away years ago, sits at the table laughing at your bad jokes. Not a ghost, just a super realistic AI avatar pulled from old videos, beamed right into your living room via augmented reality glasses. Sounds wild? That's the future one social futurist is betting on for American Christmas. A holiday that's still about family and wonder, but remixed with tech, green living, and a whole lot more inclusivity. Think of it like upgrading your phone. The core apps, connection, generosity, that cozy feeling, stay the same, but everything runs smoother, cleaner, and reaches farther. Real Christmas trees, mostly gone, replaced by holographic ones you can change from pine to palm with a wink. Zero pine needles on the floor, zero waste. Gifts aren't wrapped boxes piling up in landfills. They're experiences like virtual trips or AI-made custom stories. Food? 3D-printed feasts, mostly plant-based to save the planet, because warmer winters mean we're all feeling the heat. Literally fewer white Christmases these days. And with America getting more diverse and secular, Christians likely dipping below half the population, the holiday blends in lights from Hanukkah, principles from Kwanzaa, turning it into a big winter festival of light in the dark. The exciting part? Tech bridges distances like never before, making far-flung families feel close. The scary part? A virtual hug might feel, well, a bit like hugging your laptop. Nice, but you know it's not the real deal. So what does this mean for us crypto heads, AI builders, hardworking Americans and everyday folks? It's a reminder. Tech like blockchain and AI can make life more connected and sustainable, but only if we steer it toward real human warmth, not just shiny distractions. Christmas 2050 won't save itself. It'll be what we code it to be. This is Agent Zena, signing off. Merry upgraded holidays to all, and to all a good moon bag.
A good moon bag.
A good moon bag.
All right. All right, good moon bag to you.
I love how our transmissionists and reporters are still, they're just stuck in that world of there will be no Christmas trees, there won't be any white Christmases, there will be this hodgepodge of every holiday religious angle will be a hodgepodge of what religion is, of what Christmas is. It's just so funny that it's that hasn't changed in like as long as I can remember of a futurist looking like that.
Yeah,
and it's never right. It's never as much as they say it.
It's always more sanitized than in reality.
So think about this: the environmental Grinch that is the dude, you know, the vice president, Al Gore. That guy roughly made a Christmas fairy tale back in 2000 that Mobile would be underwater by 2015.
I saw a great...
And obviously, that's not friggin' true.
I saw a great response to that.
Yeah.
Obviously, it didn't happen. But the response to that was, I can't remember who it was. It was someone like Warren Buffett. It may not have been Warren Buffett. He said, if that were true,
yeah,
and this data was real, people with billions of dollars would be heeding that seriously, and they would not be buying oceanfront right. property in Miami.
I think Gary Vee is the one that said, when they start offering me property on the Hudson and Brooklyn, you know, like on the, for like one tenth, then I'll start believing it. But right. when you see these major hedge funds yeah. who are probably like putting out the most of this, you know, apocalyptic climate stuff, they're literally putting buildings on the water.
Well, they're probably releasing data to drive down the price so they can buy it cheaper.
I don't think anybody's biting though. But again, this is a Christmas story. It's just funny that it goes back to that. I don't know anyone that actually observes Kwanzaa. I've met more Jediists than I have Kwanzaa people.
Kwanzaanians. I don't know. Wasn't Kwanzaa invented in the 60s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. It was right out of the universities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But we don't really live in the... I don't know any Hare Krishna either.
I've never met a Hare Krishna. I've seen one, though. They used to be... Again, I remember going to the airports when they were actually at the airports. Not in Mobile, but in other cities. Mm-hmm. But this was in the 80s. So.
Yeah.
That's that, you know, when you watch like airplane, any movie from the 70s, of course, there's always
the Hare Krishna.
Krishnas at the, I tell you who was a very famous Krishna was George Harrison from the Beatles.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, very much so. I think Pete Townsend actually was one too from The Who. Hmm. So, yeah.
Let's move on.
They did not celebrate Christmas.
Let's move on.
Yeah. But it's a Christmas. We are more relaxed this show during this time of year.
We are.
Did you see the thing where do you ramp up your work this time of year or do you slow down this time of year?
I actually pivot work. Okay, so I pivot to work that I do not need anyone else's input
on. Oh, right. I see what you're saying. Like, because you can't, because other people are too busy doing.
And I don't know when they're available.
And you're a father. So you're like, I want to work, but also we have the nutcracker thing we have to go to. Right. We've got the seventh grade class, whatever, Christmas exactly. pageant. So, yeah.
And my kids are out of school for 2 weeks, right? So right. it's like, what I try and do is go, all right, over these 2 weeks, what are things I can do in small windows when I'm in front of my computer and not obligated to be doing something else?
Yeah.
That does not require me needing someone else to respond or needing someone else's input or approval. Does that make sense?
No, totally makes sense. Yeah.
That way I can stay productive and I can move the ball down the field. And then I also just, I work on projects that I enjoy. Like, I don't think I've told you this, and I know I hadn't said it on the show, but I've built an AI algorithm for fantasy baseball.
Oh, yeah, you told me about this.
Yeah, and so I've started building that out. And
it's to help people pick teams, right?
Yeah,
pick players.
It's just a tool to help you evaluate fantasy baseball players, and it's specific to your league rules. Leagues have different rules, but people evaluate the players the same. Like, when you look online... You'll see a player ranking. It'll say, oh, these are the top 50 players. Well, those are the top 50 players generically. But if your league has specific rules, that may not make sense. And there is no tool that I've found that helps you sort through and do it based on your league. So that's just like the type of thing I like to do for fun, you know? So, such is life.
Yeah. So are you, I'm kind of the same way, but I also still have podcasting to do, which is still weekly.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to take off the week of Christmas or.
Yeah. I'm still doing.
So what happens is I have to do the work of 2 weeks in 1 week because I want the week off.
Understood.
And then unfortunately I'm leaving town early on. And,
so you need to get ahead a little bit.
Well, because again, it's like the mail for me, you know, it's like the mailman, like mm-hmm. it's never stopped. No one takes off, even though I've begged for years for my host and their podcast shows to please take off the last 2 weeks of December. Nobody does. And so, it ends up where I'm having to work, but I don't want to be working the week of Christmas when I'm at home. I really don't, you know, I kind of like, that's the only time that I will say I take time that I don't stick my face. Don't put the headphones on and don't put my face into a, an audio editor.
Yeah. Oh, you got to have a break sometimes. I wonder what other people do. I think a lot of people, when they're in the office, they're just kind of putting in their time.
But I mean,
right?
With Meducate, you know, it's hard for us to have meetings with people. Like you said before, it's just a super weird time of year. They're doing holiday corporate Christmas stuff there.
And their personal stuff.
And also the travel, you know, people that are doing what, again, we are talking to higher level moneymakers and right. that investor side, they travel a lot.
Oh yeah.
They're not going to be here the 20th of December until probably the 3rd or 4th of January. They probably take off those weeks because they can.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's interesting. You just got to do the most you can with what you have. It's a lot like AI, man. It's like, how do I use this tool to get a little better? I'm writing a really interesting story that that I've found here in Mobile that people have done different pieces and parts of, but I'm really trying to put together the history of baseball in Mobile.
Oh, now,
there
yeah.
is some of this, right? But nobody's really woven it together and tied in the cultural influence of what I'm trying to do is dive into what created an environment in Mobile where in the 60s and 70s, you had this massive output of major league talent.
Yeah.
Really started in the 40s with Satchel Paige, but even beyond that, what caused that? And so I'm trying to do a deep dive into what were the things that made Mobile unique enough to produce.
Like what was in the water here?
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. Basically what's in the water. Yeah. So, and that's just kind of a fun side project as well. Anyway, all right, folks, when we come back on the show, we are going to continue with our Christmas holiday special and talk about the top 10 AI tech gifts for Christmas. Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain here with you on a Tuesday night, just a couple of nights before Christmas. And we're thankful that you're spending some of your time with us. It's in our favorite segment now, Beyond the Blockchain, where Johnny's got a report for us about AI and Christmas.
Ho, 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 folks. It's December 23rd, and Santa's sleigh isn't running on reindeer power this year. Nah, it's loaded with AI gadgets that are about to make your 2026 way smarter than your eggnog-fueled 2025. If you're still shopping last minute or dropping hints to relatives who think AI stands for Aunt Irene, listen up. This top 10 holiday tech list is pure gold. We're blasting through it right now on Beyond the Blockchain. Kicking off at number one, the Nintendo Switch. Two, faster, sharper, plays all your old games and drops with exclusives already scoring perfect 10s. Family game nights just got an upgrade. Less screaming at each other, more screaming at Bowser. Two, Apple AirPods. Pro 3. Noise cancellation so good you'll miss your own kids calling you, plus built-in heart rate tracking to make sure the holiday stress hasn't flatlined you yet. Three, Aura Ring 4. Tiny ring, massive brains. Tracks sleep, stress, and gives AI tips so you actually wake up ready to crush the day instead of hitting snooze till noon. 4. Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses. Snap pics, hands-free, get AI help on the fly, and finally look like the cool parent instead of the one yelling, "Hold still," for the 50th Christmas photo. 5. Google Pixel 10 with Magic Q AI that predicts what you need before you do. It'll remind you about that gift you forgot, find better deals, and basically act like the personal assistant you wish your spouse was. 6. The AI-powered smart bird feeder. Camera spots birds, IDs them instantly, pings your phone. Turn your backyard into a nature documentary without leaving the couch or your Christmas cookies. 7. Rabbit R1. Or similar AI companion, pocket-sized genius for voice notes, summaries, and offline help. More stuff done, less scrolling through memes. Productivity, Claws approves. 8. Advanced robot vacuum. Self-emptying, dodges gifts under the tree like a ninja, and cleans so you don't have to. Reclaim your weekends. Those hours add up to real money and sanity. 9. Insta360 Link 4K AI webcam. Auto tracks you for pro level video calls and streams. nail that remote work bonus, crush your side hustle, or just look sharp yelling at grandma over Zoom. And wrapping it up at 10, the luxury Virtu Meta Ring, gorgeous design, killer AI health tracking, zero subscriptions. For the person who wants to stay fit and look rich doing it. There it is, gang. The big theme, AI isn't coming. It's already here, quietly making you healthier, richer in time, and way more productive. These gifts aren't just fun. They're investments in a better you. So stuff those stockings with smarts this year. And remember, if the kids complain about getting boring tech, instead of toys, just tell them Santa ran out of coal. Merry Christmas. This is Johnny Gwynn signing off till 2026. Stay jolly out there.
Well, I like these tools. I saw a tool similar. I don't know if it's AI enabled yet, but it was basically a camera inside of a pair of sports glasses and like, kids are wearing them like playing softball and baseball and stuff. And then they're able to go back and rewatch what they were looking at.
Oh, like their during the sport. Their point perspective of view.
During the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so well, then go back and rewatch that.
I would think that like those glasses would be great for coaches and stuff. Like that, cause they can, like what they're seeing is being recorded instead
where
of like, you, I don't know what the video,
are you looking?
I don't know what the videographer's recording. I have no idea, but I know what I'm looking at.
I mean, a perfect example is, and a kid says, I was looking at the ball, and they don't believe you when you tell them they were pulling their head.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then you show them a video.
Especially the point of view where he's pulling his head, especially golf. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're looking in the, let's say you're in baseball, you're looking in the dugout because you pulled your head during a pitch. Yeah. You're not keeping your eye on the ball.
That's pretty good.
So, same thing with golf. Yeah. It'd be really cool with golf.
I do like those rings, and I do like, I think I need to monitor my blood pressure better, and it's just a pain in the butt. I mean, really a pain in the butt to do it. And I do like, I have heard that Apple is, I heard the iWatch was going to get better to do it, but then it does make sense for the AirPods or ear. I bet you it does read it better in your ear.
It's probably pulling the pulse. It's pulling your pulse from
exactly,
your ear.
Exactly. Yeah. That's pretty cool. And I would love to have real time blood pressure readings because, you know, the minute I walk in there, you know, white coat syndrome, I'm already 20 points up, just, you know. Because I freak out when I get tested. So,
yeah, I think that more health data is coming. The question is, how do we synthesize it and utilize it?
But I mean, I couldn't get information back on some blood tests that I had. I mean, I had the blood test. I didn't have the analysis. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I dumped it into a certain platform, and boy, did I get really good information because I kept asking it to dumb it down. Do you know what I'm saying? Sure. By the time I got to about eighth grade level, it was really helping me, especially when it looked at trends. That was the most important thing. And then I really had that conversation with my ChatGPT doc.
Right.
And it was great because it was giving me praise on things that I had improved and also things I need to keep improving and also to watch out for this thing. And the doctor just doesn't have time for me to do that when I'm sitting with them. Right. You know,
it's not built for that.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of cool things out there. They're expensive, but like Oura Ring ain't cheap. It's around $500.
Well, I read an article today that said in 50 years, humans will be two different biological species. It'll be the descendants of people who can invest in the bio upgrades that we're going to get.
Oh, yeah, right.
And the selective chemistry and the selective gene editing. Else. And then everybody else.
You know what that is? That's Gattaca. Ever seen Gattaca?
No.
Yeah, that's what Gattaca is. It was done in the it's Andy Weir. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
Didn't he write The Martian?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's Weir.
Yeah, Andy Weir did write The Martian.
But no, I know that. But Gattaca is one of those dystopian movies that kind of gets left off the list because it's not as
Ethan Hawke.
It's Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman. But it's the idea of natural born children and genome created.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. It's a beautiful, like it's shot beautiful too.
I'll try and check it out over the break.
Yeah. But again, you know, we talk about these movies that carry on these ideas of we're starting to see that future is here. It's not way out in the future anymore. It's like, it's already here.
Yeah. Now it's just about how fast can it go to scale, you know? And this goes into this healthcare conversation that we do not have time for, nor do we have time for it on this entire show. But this idea that we are creating healthcare at a faster rate. We're creating new technologies, new treatments at a faster rate than what we can pay for under health insurance.
Sure.
It goes back to two biological species. People can afford the treatment and those that can't.
Two worlds, two Americas.
Such is life.
Yeah, but hey, Merry Christmas and ho, 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 and merry and bright.
Hey, cheers to that. You want to do one more next week?
Yeah, one more for the year. All yeah.
Right. Why don't we do predictions next week?
Predictions next week. Yeah, all right. You got it.
Next week, we're going to do predictions, and you, the listener, will get to help hold us accountable.
And if you get a chance, check out the movie Rare Exports for a Christmas movie. It's fantastic.
Excellent. Checking that out. All right, folks. We'll see you next week.